listener production.
Hi, this is Paul McIntyre. Welcome to the MI3 Audio Edition. I've been a business journalist for 25 years covering the marketing, media, agency and tech sectors. In this series, we talk to industry leaders about the global and local developments that you need to be across this week.
Well, like the recent arrivals of Amazon Prime, Netflix and the rush of retailers into the advertising business, Uber is on track to write about $1 billion globally from its new-ish ad division this year, and is now making a play for video ads on the ride and eat services. The New York-based lead of Uber advertising, Michael Ackerman, who also happens to be an Australian expat for the past 15 years, argues societal forces are with the company as huge numbers of teens today opt against getting a driver's license. For 16-year-olds, it's down by half in the US. Michael says more time will be spent in cars, but less as drivers, and that's good for Uber's ad business. Its figures show of the average 20-minute ride in an Uber, 10% of a customer's time is spent on the Uber app. And if Generation Alpha follows their older Gen Z tribe in parking driver's licenses, the long-range prospects for Uber's advertising unit looks a touch rosy. But there are a few twists in this conversation. Uber is seeing booking cancellation rates among its customers drop, and it might just be because of ads. We'll get to the bottom of that. But Michael also argues the brand versus performance debate is redundant today. In Uber's case, it's punching through an idea Michael calls brandformance, which essentially combines brand building and a call to action in one execution. Coca-Cola is one big brand running with the idea on Uber app screens. Visa in the UK is another, and even Peroni in Australia at the Australian Open. Michael was in Australia recently as part of a sweep through many of the 30 markets Uber now sells ads in, and Australia is apparently a darling for the company. It's one of the fastest growing markets outside the US and serves as a global testing ground for innovation. So let's jump in. Welcome, Michael, the expat. Good to have you on the mics and having a chat about this crazy business called advertising. We'll get to some of your observations on the big shifts underway in the global ad market. But let's start with a stat, Michael, about the slump in teen driving numbers. It's super interesting. Firstly, is this a US or global trend?
Thank you, Paul. Really appreciate you having me on the show. Really excited to be back in Australia, my hometown, Sydney, and being able to talk to you about how we're entering the market and really how we're investing both as Uber generally and holistically as a logistics and utility platform here within Australia and New Zealand, as well as specifically how we're growing ads in market. When I was 16, I ran to the RTA to be able to go get my license. It was the most exciting day. I was independent. And what we are seeing specifically in the US, but I think this is a trend that you're seeing globally, where the rate of 16-year-olds going for their license has dropped by half, and the rate of 17-year-olds going for their license, specifically in the US, has dropped by a third. And so in a world where the younger generation is both moving to that kind of mobility independence later and opting for convenience, Uber is this natural fit in regards to being able to solve their problem of getting from A to B, both easily and efficiently and quickly, but most importantly, safely.
This is good for Uber, though, clearly. Basically, the argument is how people move around is going to change dramatically, and more sort of players like Uber benefit from this, right?
Very much so. Like, if you look at the global trend towards electric vehicles and the next evolution of that being autonomous vehicles, you can see a world where the back of the car ends up being the new living room. And so while people will still have potentially the same commutes that they once had, people will still be able to need to get from A to B, from home to work, they're not necessarily going to do that in the driver's seat, but now be able to be in the back. And what a great time for a brand to figure out a way to authentically connect with that consumer while they are navigating around the world. This is, to me, one of the biggest opportunities as it pertains to Uber advertising. I came from the social media platforms. And when you think about a digital interaction on those, it's just that. It's an interaction for a brand with someone's digital avatar. When someone is in an Uber, we know who they are, they're authenticated, and we're helping them move around IRL, like in real life. And with that, we're able to understand their lifestyle, their preferences, and be able to authentically connect a brand to them in that conversation.
The Uber audience or the Uber customer in Australia, what's the profile?
Yeah, so in Australia, our riders are young, affluent and convenient-driven consumers. So 76% of them are between the ages of 18 and 44. It's a very even split, male-female, 51-49. 47% of them are parents, and then they have a higher likelihood to have a high household income of over 175K. A lot of that is from an external third party who's been able to understand the platform and our audience. And one in three of Uber's audience are Gen Z. And, you know, as you would think, their favorite destinations are music venues, nightclubs, festivals, and universities. So anyone trying to hit that below 50 or specifically that Gen Z, we're a wonderful platform for them.
It's a bit of a sweet spot, isn't it? The sectors and categories that are sort of moving on your ad business at the moment, Michael, where are the sort of the standouts? Who's driving this?
Yeah, so I would think about the Uber ad platform in totality as having two sides. There is Uber Eats, which, as you rightly said, is very akin to a retail media network. We have hundreds of thousands of merchants across the world who are all using that as a platform, both for delivering logistics as well as advertising and driving loyalty and engagement with current as well as future shoppers. And so when you think about the verticals that touch upon that, it's very FMCG, QSR, quick service restaurant. Our goal is to allow you to get anything through the Uber Eats platform.
When you talk about it being a retailer media network, why so?
Because we allow retailers to connect directly with their consumers through a new delivery path. And then we allow actual brands like FMCGs to be able to sell directly through or co-brand together with retailers in regards to being able to deliver on the Uber Eats platform.
Right. So that'd be like everything from supermarkets, convenience stores. Is that the sort of stuff you're talking about there where there's a joint effort?
100%. And then direct brands such as Coke or Hershey's or Mars Wrigley or Unilever or Procter & Gamble able to go and continue to also connect their products with the consumers that want it most.
And it gets interesting. I'm sure I'm getting well ahead of ourselves here, but where retailer media is going ultimately is to close that loop and link the exposure of an ad to a purchase. I guess you're on that path somewhere, are you? Can you do that now, or will you be able to do it?
The best thing on the Eats side specifically is we are a closed loop platform. We're able to understand exposure to an ad within that platform and then understand both through purchase, even through to delivery at someone's residence or place of work. And so we're able to give full closed loop attribution. And what's really exciting is then you combine that with the mobility media side. And now you have a really strong mechanism where we're able to both drive ads as we drive people, and then also understand closed loop on their shopping habits based upon that advertising.
We talked about the sort of companies that are on the Eats side of the business that are using the ad product. On the ride side, where is the emerging, or those sectors or brands that are sort of driving that at the moment?
Yeah, I would actually say on the ride side, which is where I focus a lot of my time, it is really exciting because every single vertical and some of the largest global brands are leaning into the medium. So across retail or financial services, entertainment, tech, telco, and travel. And what's really exciting is a lot of those brands are looking for cut through and understanding the uniqueness of the medium. They are specifically leveraging the Uber Rides, what we call a journey ad, and we'll get into that in more detail, but they are leveraging that to create cut-through directly to the consumer. So streaming services using someone sitting in the back of the car with creative that says, in the time you've been in this Uber, you could have watched the first episode of our new series.
That's how they're using it.
Exactly. Or financial services companies saying, we know you're traveling. Make sure to leverage our card as top of wallet. No foreign transaction fees.
Has it taken a significant effort on awareness for the market to understand what Uber's doing with its ads business, Michael? Or is it a aha moment or an instinctive or an intuitive, oh, yeah, that makes sense? What's been the reaction, you know, in various markets on this?
I think one of the best things about Uber, the brand, is we're also a verb. I can go into any room with agency executives, with brand marketers, and ask who has taken an Uber, and every hand will go up. And so understanding that action, that activity, what it feels like to be in the back of the Uber, what it feels like to press a button and have a car just come to you to take you to your destination, everyone can relate to that. And so now starting to talk about, if we brought a brand into that conversation, into that journey with you, can you start to see the value of that proposition? And so the unit itself on the mobility side, Journey Ads, kind of goes through every step of that journey. First, there is dispatch. Hey, we're trying to connect you with a driver. Then there is on route, which is we have connected you with a driver. They are on their way to you. And then there is on trip. You're sitting in the back of a car for 15 to 20 minutes. And so when you start to think about that and we sell that as one single unit, we are allowing brands to be the companion with that consumer for their entire journey from the second they get picked up to the second they leave the car. And then we're bringing out other innovative formats which actually continue on after they've left the car and the vehicle.
You better give us, that's a bit of a tease. What does that look like?
We're in alpha right now. We're testing what we call ride offers, where effectively a brand can say, hey, the next ride is on us, and continue to drive loyalty for the consumer by getting them to engage further after the ride for their next ride via Uber Cash. You spoke about Coca-Cola. We worked with Coca-Cola to create a playable game. That was the ad. It was a game experience in the back of a car on their app. And when they successfully, it was like a Wheel of Fortune. You needed to guess what the hidden word was. When you successfully got it, you actually got pushed over to Eat, and a coupon for a Coca-Cola on your next order automatically got put onto your basket.
I guess it's probably a bit down in the weeds. How did that go in terms of the results?
Client was extremely happy because not only had it driven engagement, they were actually able to tie that brand upper funnel awareness play in a really fun, new, innovative concept of a game and really gamification, all the way through to this has driven additional sales on the Eat side. We now have Coca-Colas being positioned more and more in orders. And it also increased basket size because, hey, I got one bottle of Coke put in, but I have a family of five. I need another bottle of Coke. And so it was a wonderful value exchange and kind of flywheel across the board. Yeah, so from that Coca-Cola playable ad unit, which drove really high engagement. So we saw 22% new customer redemption. We saw an average playing time of engaging with this brand new format of over 40 seconds, and then 90% completion of the game itself. And so it really was an amazing way to drive a new conversation and cut through for Coca-Cola that drove new customer redemptions.
So it's pretty interesting what's happening in the global ad market at the moment, Michael. We've got most of the media companies calling an ad recession or a contraction. You've got a lot of the big tech companies going, what are you talking about? It's all good over here. And then you've got perhaps Uber in the middle here somewhere with a projection or a forecast of hitting about $1 billion in ads for 2024, according to your CEO. So first thing is, how's that $1 billion tracking? And what are you making of where this sort of very topsy-turvy ad market is going?
Yeah, so who doesn't love a big goal like $1 billion?
Yeah, all on you.
Yeah, you've got to shoot for the stars. I think the most amazing thing is for a platform that has really just been on the market for less than a few years, you know, still in its early innings. In our Q4 earnings, we hit $900 million revenue run rate. And so when you extrapolate that out coming into 2024, we're seeing really amazing success. And we're seeing a lot of advertisers lean in. To your point about topsy-turvy and where is the ad market going, I think at the end of the day, people still need brands. People still need products. And people still are going about their everyday spending. And from an advertising perspective, I don't think it's that there's a contraction in the market. I think advertisers and agencies are getting smarter about where and how to deploy that media. There at times in the past was a spray and pray. And I think right now it's very much about how do I get smart and how do I diversify when I am getting crushed with, let's say, the Triopoly or on traditional advertising means, and it's just a race to the bottom on CPMs and cheap eyeballs for reach, how do I actually cut through and really drive innovation? And I think as advertisers and marketers, that's why we got into this game, to change hearts and minds. And so being able to find a new platform like Uber, we're seeing real brands say, this is something that is where I want my brand dollars to go, where I want my performance dollars to go, specifically to help me cut through and drive bleeding edge innovation.
In terms of the, like, you've got good visibility, US and international markets, Michael, what are the big conversations and themes you're hearing come back from advertisers, marketers, and the agency groups top of mind? What's sort of driving this year?
Yeah, I think specific to Uber and Uber advertising, I have been so pleasantly surprised, because the conversation generally comes to a point around, how do we do more together? How, instead of just thinking about, let me put a single ad unit, or talking about impressions or cost per whatever, the conversation is really, how do we get bigger? How do we go bolder? How do we connect with our consumers in unique ways? I tease the concept of brand formance, and I really do see that this kind of compartmentalization that we've done in the market or within organizations or within teams is being completely contracted together. The same way as people would say that the sales funnel has been blown up, the traditional funnel we think of, I think the same as the delineation between brand and performance. And you actually already saw this trend a few years ago, where you had direct-to-consumer brands that had been built on Instagram and now TikTok and whatnot, and it hit the market. And while they focused on LTV and CAC and all of the very specific metrics of driving units every single day, what they found is that the second a competitor came on the market, there was no loyalty whatsoever. And so companies like Casper, which is a mattress company in the US, suddenly there were 17 different mattress providers, and they all seemed like much of a muchness. Where could you get the cheapest mattress possible? And so they reverse integrated into retail, physical stores, flagship stores, where people could go and lay down on the mattress and be like, oh, this is amazing. Now I understand the brand, and now I understand who I want to purchase with. And I think we continue to see this going on, definitely on Uber, and definitely on the mobility side, where people are trying to combine the two, even
in one execution, right? This is, we're talking about one execution where you bring brand and a call to action together.
Exactly.
This has been the great sort of assumption or position of industry for some time, is that they typically are better separated and they do different jobs and different channels. You're saying, no, sir.
Yeah. I think as a consumer, the way I move around the world, I don't just specifically think, oh, I'm engaging with this brand just to understand their brand colors and that they exist and I'm aware of it. And this other brand, I'm engaging just to actually go and purchase. And so I think while as marketers, we have segmented because we see them as very different skill sets, we're talking to the same consumer and we're trying to drive the same action. The whole point of brand advertising is to create brand awareness and intent to buy. Performance is the execution on that intent. So in theory, those two should be much closer together. So we see advertisers coming to our platform, and even when it's just a pure brand message, we'll put a call to action on the ad, and we see click-through rates of 3%, 4%, 5%. Of people saying, I want to go execute. Let me go execute. Let me purchase from you. And I think more and more that funnel or that separation from the two is being consolidated into one.
So on your platforms, in your apps, we've talked about Coke doing that. And also you've got a couple of examples with Visa and even Peroni, I think, in Australian Open. Just give us a sense of how the executionally, who's doing what on your platform, at least, because I'm sure this will, you know, trigger some more conversation around bringing it together or not, but you've got some good examples. So just give us those ones, Michael.
Yeah, for sure. So Peroni did a really great installation where they were able to own the mind share of people going to the Australian Open. And they had really playful creative that really spoke to during a match or in between matches, go get a Peroni on site. And so they were able to already effectively incept their potential clients and their potential customers going to the Australian Open and already have the idea that I was going to go get a Peroni. And I think what we see the medium, especially because we are offering a physical in the real world transportation mechanism, is we see this as a wonderful way to really cross the divide between online and offline. Similarly, here in Australia, like we partnered with Absolute Vodka to do a World Pride campaign, and they saw a significant uplift. They saw 149 seconds on average time spent with their ads. They saw nearly a 4% swipe rate and people engaging with those ads on the platform. But then more so, they saw a 28% increase in sales revenue uplift onto the Uber Eats platform. In market, there is really, really amazing artistry being done by some of the Australia and the world's greatest brands in the Australian and New Zealand market that really cuts through. Same as like HSBC. So they created messaging specifically for people heading to the airport and making sure that and it was playful, creative about have you forgotten your toothbrush? Have you forgotten what you needed to pack? And over 54% of people, this was a brand ad, saw that, said that the ads caught their attention, but they had a 14 percentage point increase in likelihood to search for additional information about HSBC, and then a 6% increase in intent to use their HSBC card. Like those numbers you do not find on other platforms very easily.
They're good numbers, absolutely. And I guess around what you're doing with all this, the ability for companies to get their messaging and their formats right, what you're doing on your apps is quite different to other formats and other channels. I'm interested in this notion of consolidation. Lots of people are looking for efficiencies and putting out stuff on scale. They're going to have to adjust and do things specifically for the Uber platforms, right? So does that become a challenge to them to do that? Because it's another thing for them to do.
Yeah, I think, you know, first and foremost, as an advertising platform, our goal is to make interacting and trading with us as easy as possible. Like that's paramount. With that being said, you know, I think sometimes as an overall industry, we talk about we want a media mix, we want diversification, we want, again, to be able to move away from the wherever all of our advertising dollars are being consolidated, and we want new innovation.
Yes, but only if it's easy and cheap, Michael.
Yeah, exactly. And then we speak out of the other side of our mouths and say, oh, you're innovative and you're new, but I need you to look like this other thing. So it's kind of like, at times it's like, I want a platypus, but I'll only work with you if you can quack like a duck and walk like a duck.
Yes.
And so inevitably what we're trying to do is say, hey, how do we continue to lean into the uniqueness of our platform? A platform like Uber, and specifically on the mobility side, has never existed before. How do we continue to lean into that uniqueness, the thing that drives consumer consideration, what brands ultimately are looking for in a unique, authentic way to connect with a consumer to drive their business objectives, while also making us easy to work with? I don't like cheap. I don't think cheap is the right word we should look for in regards to that. We can talk about affordability. We can talk about mechanism. But to me, it's all about return on ad spend. It should be effective and efficient. That shouldn't translate to cheap eyeballs. That should translate to how do I get my business goals in the most effective and efficient ways. And so for us as a platform, we continuously are evolving, working with a whole range of third-party partners across measurement, across other parts of the ad tech ecosystem, as well as our own first-party solutions, to enable people to buy and transact in any way possible, but never lose that specialness or uniqueness.
So who do you reckon you are competing with in the ad market? All the momentum is really with
the big platforms, you know, the Metas and Googles, the Amazon, you know, Amazon's coming through with fury, right? It's crazy, that business, and retailer media. So everyone's, you know, a lot of retailers are getting in. Where is your competitive set in terms of Uber? What are they looking at you or at instead of someone else?
I think on the Uber Eats side, obviously, as you spoke about before, there are other players who are focused on retail media or whatnot. I think the difference to Uber versus them is generally the retail media network is a retailer in and of themselves. We are agnostic to all retailers. Retailers leverage us as distribution mechanisms. And so we are, in theory, the meta, not meta like Facebook, but we are the meta retail media network on the Uber Eats side. On the mobility side, on the Uber rides hailing side, we are kind of in a class onto ourselves, which is both extremely exciting. It allows us to define a new industry, which we're calling mobility media. With that, it also comes with its challenges, exactly as you said before. You know, you need to be easy to work with. You need to be cheap to work with. I need to figure out how to put you on a media plan, and I need to be able to drive budget to you quickly. What we're finding is advertisers and agencies who do run with us for a campaign, like all platforms, sometimes it starts in experimental dollars, sometimes it starts in brand dollars. But what we find is they come back for repeat campaigns over and over because they're starting to understand the uniqueness of hitting this consumer, not just first party data that gets thrown around a lot. That we forget who we're actually trying to connect to, which is another human being that we want to purchase our brand, product, or service.
It's a new category, mobility and media. I take your point on that. But the budgets that are going into that are coming from somewhere else. So where's your hunch?
So we're actually seeing it come from a few places. I think we're seeing it move from traditional walled gardens across, you know, whether it be search or social, for people looking to go upper funnel or effectively down funnel, depending on where it's coming from. I think there is a lot coming from display and then video. And video kind of cuts across everything. If you look at video advertising, obviously there is a lot in the programmatic space. There's also 50% plus going to traditional platforms. And so what we're able to do is really tap into both, which is a great place to be.
You've got a video sort of initiative out now, right? It's to market. What's that going to do for the business?
I think one of the biggest fundamental shifts in the market after, you know, the year of mobile, which really took 10 years to get there,
yes,
and then shift around privacy and other points, is video. We went from a completely text-based online ecosystem to images, and now everything is video, short form, authentic created video. And so for us, it was only a natural evolution. I think going back to sitting, waiting for a car on the Uber platform and then sitting in the back of that Uber, when you think about that experience, we're trying to do the exact same thing with video. So it's those same three screens, but what we see is a lot of advertisers, specifically the entertainment industry, leaning in. If they have big feature film releases or there are new shows coming on, I think they are the ones who are utilizing, and maybe this is across all advertising, they're the ones who are leaning into video as a platform and a format. So what we're finding is the movie houses are really using that format expertly. On that dispatch screen, hey, we're trying to connect you with a driver. They will have a character or an individual from the film speaking directly, breaking the fourth wall, talking to the consumer while they're waiting for their ride. And then when you move into the on round trip, hey, we've connected you with the driver, they're on their way, and on trip, it goes much more into trailer or feature film. And so they're leveraging this to tell a story across these three interwoven screens sequentially, and again, with 100% share of voice. So that brand is the only other brand, except for Uber, that is connecting with the consumer in that time. You have complete mind share and awareness, and you're able to go and tell a story across individual character profile to trailer all the way through to feature film.
In terms of the real estate that's on both the Ride and Eats apps, Are you sort of allocating a portion that goes to video or whatever comes through? And in the end, will it end up being more video than sort of text and image based? Where's your hunch on that?
It is, you know, we operate a system to ensure the right content appears in front of the right person at the right time. And that can be video or static. We also have a carousel. Like we have a lot of different mechanisms in ad units, depending on what the brand and the agency are trying to drive with that consumer. I think the biggest thing is just video generally obviously has higher production costs. So not every brand has video just to deploy. And I would also say a TVC, a TV commercial that you have somewhere else or something that you've made for, let's say, an Instagram or a TikTok may or may not fit on a platform like Uber. And so for us, it's to say, hey, how do we leverage existing assets so there isn't a production cost, but how do we also make sure that it's authentic? And so in that space, we might opt for static versus video or vice versa. And we also allow the brand to also think through, do they want static video? Do they want all three screens video? And allow them to test and learn specifically what works best for the consumer they're trying to touch.
Hey, in terms of where that video market's coming from, I know you love buckets and putting things into labels, not the opposite for the record, dear listener, but we are talking here about sort of $180 billion at the moment that goes into short form video, social, and so forth. Is that where you will play and in that sector where advertisers are there?
First, don't put baby in a corner. But if you need to figure out how to bucket, I think, listen, $180 billion market, that's a very big TAM to which you would say, hey, that's where I want to focus. And there is enough of the pie to go around for everyone. With that being said, I think all brands think about their investment strategy very differently. Some bucket search and social together as biddable media. Some focus on them being very distinctly different. Some think about open exchange, PMPs, and then programmatic guaranteed as all just programmatic. Others see them as individual mechanisms with strategies against each one.
I can see why you don't like buckets, Michael.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's very confusing. We confuse ourselves as an industry. And so being able to kind of touch to where the largest opportunity is. I think taking a step back, we are a platform that allows brands to cut through all of the noise in order to engage with a consumer. So again, 100% share of voice. You're not competing with other content. You're not competing with user-generated content. It's not an endless scroll of other things trying to create noise and really attacks on attention. And so if as an advertising platform, we actually help brands cut through to their consumer, then I would argue I also want to cut through these specific buckets that exist within advertising and be able to stand as a mechanism where we're like, hey, come test with us, learn with us, see how people engage your consumers with your brand on our platform. And then we can talk about where you might want to bucket us that makes sense for your investment strategy.
Well, it sounds like Uber might be unbucketable by the sounds of it. You're across it all. You want it all, don't you?
That's going to be my new headline slide when I go out and present decks to people. It's going to be the unbucketable advertising opportunity.
Well, you can have that. That's on MI3. There you go. Hey, listen, I'm speaking of sort of MI3 and Australia. Australian market, I think it's going quite well, sort of one of the top performing markets in the world in terms of growth for the advertising business and the Rise and Eat stuff. But overall, Australia's rocking. Is that right?
Yeah. The Australian market, again, for Uber generally and then for Uber Ads specifically, is such a important high-value market that we continue to invest, we continue to lean in. Like people are really engaged with leveraging Uber to help them navigate their world and really be such an integral utility within their lifestyle. And then what we see is showing ads within the Australian market, people are highly receptive. They're spending on average nearly 2 minutes with our content, which is stats that you don't see across other mediums when people are just endlessly scrolling. See, on average, in Australia, like a 3% engagement, so that's swipes and click-through rates and increase of 20% receptiveness to the video format when we introduced it. Like, people got more engaged with video as we introduced more ads. Like, there are very few platforms where people are like, yes, we have new ads. We can lean in further and engage more. And so, like, I come from a world where some of those metrics, you would be lucky if you got 0.000x% something. And Australia is really leading the way. I also think Australia as a market and the brands and agencies that I've met with here are so creative in their thinking. They're saying, how do we take an insight and turn that into a creative message that drives business objectives, as opposed to let's just talk about feature function or bucket you one way or another, or, you know, cheap CPMs, et cetera. And I think it has been such a wonderful trip that I've had here, speaking to agency leaders and advertisers and brands, because they are so leaned into the opportunity that it makes my job very, very easy.
Yeah, you can go home. Well done. That's a good mission accomplished. But I was going to, I mean, you sort of stole my thunder a little bit, because I was going to ask you, what are the sort of conversations that you've been having in the Australian market during your trip? What are you being asked and what are they wanting from you? What is the market wanting from Uber?
It cuts on two main vectors, I would say. One, help us have insights into how our consumer is moving around the world and how we can then leverage the totality of the Uber platform and the solutions you have in order to engage with that consumer based upon that insight. And then on the other side, how do we go and even break the mold further beyond the journey ad, beyond these card offers? Can we have physical installations? Can we think through how we do an omni-channel approach?
Are you being pushed on attribution, Michael? You're being pushed on measurement, attribution, prove us that, you know, you're doing it. What are those things? What are those questions coming at you in the Australian market? It's a lot of focus on this. You got commerce coming through. There's a lot of focus on that business impact, but prove it. And so are you getting that too?
For sure. And no one should be spending money unless it's attributable somewhere, somehow. And so we had a wonderful event yesterday with hundreds of agency leaders in the Sydney market. And my conversation with them was very much around, we're leaning into measurement, both third-party measurement solutions, so agnostic third parties, as well as our own first-party measurement solutions, in order to make sure that you can prove the efficacy and efficiency of all the media you run with us. But something that I also said in that same breath was like, let's make sure that we're not just focused on proxy metrics or, hey, I just want to tag up something. Let's talk about driving business outcomes. Let's talk about return on ad spend. Let's talk about actual metrics that drive like top line and bottom line, not just being able to say, you know, was something viewable or not. We have amazing viewability rates. We work with wonderful providers like Double Verify and Integral Ad Science and Mode and partners on that side.
It's table stakes.
Exactly. Just because something's viewable doesn't mean it actually drove my business objective. So how do we shift the conversation to that? And it was a wonderful discussion had with those agency leaders. So yes, very much on measurement and then measurement into attribution and actually being able to tie it back. Another point that comes up a lot is privacy. And the best thing about Uber, when you think about it, it's brand safe, 100% share of voice. You're the only brand. It's fraud free. Bots don't hail cars.
Yet.
Yeah. It's a good point. And we are a logged in, authenticated user that has put their credit card on the system as well. And so something we spoke about in market was also, when someone gets into the back of that Uber, we know who they are. Like, we can personalize an experience for them, not just their digital representation, but who they are and really what they want to see in the world.
Super interesting. We're going to have to wrap this up. Just, can you give me maybe one or two key takeouts that you see coming in the next 12 months for the market, not just around Uber's business, but what do you see coming at the market, both for marketers, advertisers, and sort of the supply chain agencies and media? What's high on the radar there?
Yeah. So I think more and more you will find us working with the agency ecosystem together with the advertisers and brands to do bigger and better activations here in market. I think I am focused on being able to leverage Australia as my first market to actually test new innovations. And I think this is something that is so unique to the Australian market, the receptiveness of the advertising ecosystem here to test new features and try out new functionality. So for the next 12 months, from Uber to market to the ANZ market, will be a lot of new innovations and you guys being first to test it out to see how we roll it out to other markets globally. And then we have invested significantly. Over the last 18 months, we had one leader here, Michael Levine, who is an awesome advertising veteran from LinkedIn and 9MSN back in the day. And since then, he's built out a team of nearly 40 people to support and represent the Australian and New Zealand market. And over the next 12 months, there will be continual investment around that. And so I'm excited to start seeing campaigns that are run in ANZ on the Uber advertising ecosystem start coming up and winning awards in Cannes, start being noticed much more, because what's going on in this market is really like bleeding edge and tip of spear.
So I'm going to throw out a forecast here, Michael, and you can tell me, you can say that a journo is actually way off the money. But given the fact that in Q4, it's the December quarter last year, your run rate was $900 million for the ad business, and your CEO said 24, you're going to get to a billion, I'm going to say you're probably looking at somewhere between 1.1 and 1.3 for 2024. What do you say to that, Mr. Ackerman?
I say from your lips to God's ears, let's do it. And hopefully everyone who's listening to this can help be part of that journey.
Well, it was a nice tap dance to get out of answering the question. Well done, Michael Ackerman. Great to have you on the mics and safe travels. Thanks for joining.
Thank you. This was an absolute pleasure. Looking forward to more.
This MI3 audio edition was presented by Paul McIntyre. That's moi. Producer Nick Slater. Music by Matt Dwyer. For more episodes, go to listener.com or download the Listener app and search MI3 audio edition to listen for free. Listener.